Welcome to the Introductory Guide to Mental Training for Cricket. Together we'll look at how to avoid common mistakes people make when trying to improve their mental game. We'll also learn what the realities of mental preparation are. It's easier than you might think. So let's get started. It's one of those things you hear commentators on the TV talk about. So much so that perhaps it's now a cliché to say that 80% of cricket is mental. But in this case, it's a cliché that is very much grounded in truth. As we'll see, avoiding the misconceptions and applying the realities to our on-field thinking can lead to bringing that 80% cliché to life immediately and long-term. The problem with getting to that 80% mark is that the whole world of sports psychology is surrounded by myth and mystery. It's understandable that people are reluctant to explore the mental side of the game. The macho sportsman in us says, mental toughness is something that strong men have and weak men do not have. No amount of psychology is going to help with that. We think of psychiatrist couches. We wonder if we need to hug a tree and light a joss stick to allow the cosmos to align in our favour. We wonder how the heck chanting over lizard entrails dressed as a chicken is going to help us take more wickets on a Saturday afternoon. Rather than look into the mumbo-jumbo, we put it aside and head out for an extra net instead. New age nonsense be damned. But deep down we know something else. We know top players are doing things like imagery and visualising. Surely if the elite are doing it, there must be something in it. How do we know where to start? Confusion leads to inaction. You see, unlike the professionals, it's much harder for us to access the guys with the answers. The Jeremy Snapes of this world have moved from successful player to successful sports psychologist and can pass on the ideas that really work for cricketers. They get paid to do so. But what about club level? Most clubs can't afford a staff psychologist, and most players would be reluctant to pay one. Many people wouldn't even know where to look. We know they hold the answers. If we could only chat to one, get an idea of exactly what works and what's a waste of time. They remain safely tucked away in the professional game. The only way to get the mental training you need is to get to the elite levels, but how do you get there without the mental toughness of a pro? That's exactly where this course comes in. In this presentation, I'll tell you what would come out of that chat with a sports psychologist. I'll tell you what's a myth that you can ignore and what's a reality that you can adopt. In fact, there are three realities we'll cover today, represented by the three cricket balls you see here. As we go through the realities, we'll use the cricket balls to remind us. You can finally cut through the confusion that surrounds mental training and learn how to develop bulletproof mental toughness. You can have professional mental training, whatever level you're at, or whatever level you want to reach. Most club cricketers never even consider how their thoughts can directly affect their performance. Even the ones who do are frozen into inaction by confusion. Simply by understanding the realities of mental training, you will put yourself far ahead of where your peers are. You'll have the edge, and with the edge comes respect, fear, and results. Let's make it clear from the start. Reams of research has gone into the state of mind of top performers in every conceivable sport. The unanimous verdict? Mental preparation is a critical element to your success as a player. How you deal with errors, your self-confidence, your expectations, and how you picture yourself all have a direct influence on your ability to perform your cricket skills on the pitch. In essence, there is no difference between body and mind. Get it wrong, the research tells us, and you're ambushing your own game. Get it right, and things start to become easier than you ever thought possible. But it's not only scientists in white coats tucked away in labs that tell us this. Jeremy Snape, an international cricketer, is an advocate of using performance thinking, as he calls it. It took him to the top of his game, and now he's helping others do the same. On a more local level, I adopted the techniques we discuss in this course and saw an explosion in my performance to the point of winning a Player of the Year award. I can say from my own experience, this stuff works. So forget about all the New Age stuff. There's no cosmic ordering, tie-dye shirts, or mind-bending drugs. Just stuff that's been proven to work. Sports psychologist James Hamilton believes mental training is a critical component of practice. He recently told me, "Mental training offers ways to practice and hone skills away from the ground that have been shown to be as effective in terms of improvement as actual physical practice." Think about that one. You can actually have a mental net as much as you can improve your skill in a real net. And if you know how to do it in the way James knows, you're making just as important improvements to your game. It stands to reason, then, that you can practice and improve your mental toughness in the same way as your cricket skills. It's a common misconception that mental skills are innate in some way, you're born with them or not. It is true that some are naturally tougher than others, but even the weakest willed can train themselves up and learn how to get tough. Not only is mental strength a learnable skill, it's an essential one. Think about how many times you've heard top players talking about being low on confidence. It's special player code for not playing well. To me, that alone shows how the mind and body are bound together. Researchers back this up. Players with too high or too low expectations continually do worse than players with realistic and achievable expectations. And that's nothing to do with innate ability, and everything to do with how you see the world, your mental state. Here's another reality. It was recently my youngest son's birthday. As a one-year-old, his cricket skills are something to be desired, but he still has a lot to teach us about the game. If you had the type of dramatic skill improvements he showed in the last 12 months, you'd be playing for your country by now. He's gone from being totally helpless to being able to sit up, crawl, open doors, press buttons, throw a ball, and feed himself. I didn't have to coach him in any of these skills. He just picked them up through sheer instinct and determination. Watching him try and fail many times over before learning how to crawl or put a bottle in his mouth, I started to realise that he was teaching us all a lesson. Babies never stop trying. Babies never think something is too difficult for them, and babies never, ever quit. Heck, they don't even know that quitting is an option to them. Like my son did. They just keep at something until they're able to do it. It's exactly the same for cricket. The difference that separates the good players from the average ones is the fact they keep trying no matter how difficult the task seems. That's got nothing to do with how good you are at a cover drive, and everything to do with your mental approach to the game. Talent, we've always thought, is the simple defining element in our success. You either got it or you ain't, they tell us. Or maybe not. There's a growing theory that natural ability may not be as important as we think. Talent, the scientists say, is merely your desire to pursue your goals with single-minded dedication. Writer Malcolm Gladwell has researched expert physical performance in everything from brain surgery to ice hockey, and put success down to, yes, genetic physical ability, but also the stuff you can train. Coordination, experience, imagination, and single-minded practice. So, although you will be limited by your own neurological and physical limits, you can certainly adopt an attitude of determination that can get you further than you thought possible. Woody Allen may not have been talking about cricket in that quote, but he was still right. How many people give up before they've reached the limit of their genetic ability? I would hazard a guess that it's the vast majority. That's where the power of thinking like a toddler comes in. Simply powering through in spite of all the obstacles is enough to give you the mental edge. Just turning up again and again. Training when you don't feel like it. Doing fitness work in the rain and the cold when you want to be in bed. Bowling at a target until you are numb with boredom. This is the hard stuff that you need to keep turning up to. This is the stuff that a good mental approach will allow you to keep turning up to. And if you can do that, you're 80% of the way to success without even trying. The third and final reality is this: everyone can benefit from mental training. Many people associate mental training with mental illness. Perhaps you see in your mind the Freudian psychiatrist asking you about your childhood and your relationship with your mother. No one likes the idea they need a mind doctor or shrink, and no one can see the benefits to their game. That's because there are none. What mental training really is a series of simple tricks that anyone can use and start benefiting from. So come on, let's be honest. We all have moments where we are a bit scared. We tense up, we get frustrated, or we don't have complete confidence. Some more than others, perhaps, but even the greatest players have had that little doubting voice on occasions. Human nature in action, you might say. Dealing with those moments does not mean you need to visit the shrink because you're sick in the head. That's another one of those myths we keep coming back to. It means you have the tools to be a mentally tougher and therefore technically and physically superior cricketer. That's a practical reality. The really exciting part of this reality is how little effort it actually takes. Sports psychologists have done the work for you and come up with what amounts to nothing more than a series of clever tricks and methods proven over the years. All you need to do is adopt the ones you need when you need them, like a builder selecting a tool for a job. You can start straight away, and most people see an immediate difference. Stick with it, and everyone sees the changes over the long term, especially when you start taking wickets and making more runs. In the rest of the course, we'll start to go over exactly what you need to do.